Hey, Podcast Universe, welcome back. I'm Jesus Eddie Campa, host of Leading Through Adversity, Unmasking Leadership. The show you're about to hear was recorded on Sunday, Easter Sunday, with my good friend Earl Morrison, a true leader, a man who knows a lot of things about leading and leading with character. He's an author. He's a former police chief. He's the current compliance manager at CLEAT, the Council on Law Enforcement Education and Training. I hope you enjoy the show, and here we go.
Going live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Leading through adversity, unmasking leadership.
Welcome back, Podcast Universe, to the second episode of Leading Through Adversity, Unmasking Leadership. I am your host, Jesus Eddie Campa, and I'd like to wish everybody a happy Easter. Traditionally, this is not the way that me and my family spend our Easter Sunday. Unfortunately, due to the coronavirus, this is what we're all having to do. But today's a very special day. Today is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I see the end of this attack from this invisible enemy known as the coronavirus coming to an end here very quickly. You know, right now we would be getting ready to start grilling and hiding Easter eggs for the Easter egg hunt, and you know, getting ready to have eggs cracked on our heads and just enjoying our family and remembering what's important to us. But next year about this time we'll be able to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we give thanks for everything that He has given to us. As leaders, we are facing a very adverse time right now. You know, many of us are filled with a lot of unknowns. We don't know what's going to happen. We're not sure if we're going to be able to bounce back. But you know, that's the one thing that leaders always do. Leaders have a vision. Leaders know what to do when things get tough. And this is a perfect example, and it's going to show just how tough the leaders of America and the leaders of the world are once we get back on our feet. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be right back to introduce you to our very special guest. Welcome back, Podcast Universe. As promised, we have a very special guest today. This special guest happens to be a really good friend of mine. He is a public speaker, a lecturer, a speaker on leadership and character. He has written two books. His new book just came out about a week ago, Mentoring for Life, Leading and Learning with Character. His first book was also very good, and that was Leadership Lessons Learned, Leading and Learning with Character. This individual has a lot of experience when it comes to leadership roles and leading with character. I can tell you firsthand that this man is a class act. He's currently serving as the compliance manager and investigative manager for the Council on Law Enforcement Education and Training out of Oklahoma. He also was a former chief of police. He served as a chief of police for two different cities and spent a career almost as a CID lieutenant, working his way up to CID lieutenant, detective, patrol officer, sergeant, and so on. So this gentleman knows a lot about leadership. This man has helped me out a lot on several occasions when I've had to make tough decisions here at work. He's kind of guided me and given me some advice, and actually when I do follow it, and listen to him, it actually comes out pretty good. So this man actually knows what he's talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, so without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to our special guest, Mr. Earl Morrison. Hey, Earl, thank you for joining us and taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here on our second episode of Leading Through Adversity, Unmasking Leadership. Earl, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, it's awesome to have you. You know, when I asked you to do this, I wasn't quite sure if you were actually going to want to do the podcast and stuff. You know, being an author and all, you know, being a big dog now, got two books under your belt. You know, how does that feel, man? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it feels pretty good. I wouldn't say that I'm a big dog or anything, but you know, it feels pretty good that you can put things on paper and share your thoughts and some of your experiences with other people. You know, one of the things about that is that you never know. The people that are out there, they've gone through the same things that you have. And so as we've had several conversations with that, as you well know, man, when you can put things out there and share those with other people, it just gives them a great opportunity to learn as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny, you and I, you know, we have our paths are very, very similar, and our ups and downs and our successes almost mirror each other. But you know, before I get ahead of myself and we start talking about the books, I want you to do me a favor and just tell the public a little bit about your background and your professional experience.
Okay, sure. I've been in law enforcement and the criminal justice field for over 25 years. Started out working in the prison system. I worked there in the state of Texas for about 6 years. And then I decided that I needed to go get my degree in criminal justice, and I'd always wanted to be in law enforcement. So I finished up my bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and then I started in law enforcement. And I've actually been in the law enforcement side for a little over 20 years. While there, I worked my way up to CID lieutenant at City in Texas. Got my master's degree in criminal justice there. A few years ago, decided I wanted to be a chief of police, so I went out there and became a chief of police, and did that in two different cities for a little over 3 years. One of the things about that is that, you know, with the things that I learned, it was kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to write. That was a passion that I had always dreamed about doing. And so it kind of brings me to where I'm at now. I'm now the compliance manager at CLEAT in Oklahoma, and just looking for opportunities to grow that leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just want to, for everybody out there, you know, sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for, because you may get it. I mean, you and I both almost kind of made the decision to head out to the realm of becoming a chief of police right about the same times in two different parts of Texas. And, you know, while we had a lot of success doing that, you know, it was a whole different animal. And I guess that just goes with, you got to be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, that's true. You never know what is in store for you out there. You know, God does have a plan, but you just never know what that's going to look like when you make that call and you go out there. You know, there's ups and downs with everything we do, and just like your business name, Leading Through Adversity, those are lessons that we learn. Those are things that keep us moving forward.
Right. I mean, if anybody knows about Leading Through Adversity, that has experienced that over the last several years, you know, you and I have had to deal with a lot of adversity. You know, why don't you, you know, give us a little bit of advice on how you've managed to keep yourself grounded during those adverse times?
Well, you know, Eddie, for me, you know, I'm a faith-based guy, and, you know, God is what keeps me going. And, you know, I talk to you about it a lot. I talk to people that I visit with a lot about self-reflection. And when you self-reflect, you know, you realize that it's not about you, and you realize that I can't make it. I can't make it to the next minute relying on my own strength. And so, you know, we have to get our strength from something that's more powerful than us. And for me, and I know for you and for many others out there, you know, God is where we get that strength. And so relying on my faith and my family and my friends, and just being very consistent in using those things, that's what gets me through.
You know, that's absolutely true. And you know, one of the things that I'm kind of excited about actually recording this episode on Easter is that today, you know, our Lord and Savior has resurrected today. And you know, many times, at least, you know, on my part, you know, I know that when I've come to the end, and I'm not trying to compare myself to our Lord, but what I'm saying is when I've been at my wit's end and had no other place to go, and in my world, at least in the perception of my world, because I'm sure that people have bigger problems than I've ever had in my entire life. But in my world, when my world was ending and I thought I was about to die, you know, I remember, you know, asking God to please give me the strength and help me out. And all of a sudden I just felt alive again when he came in and basically resurrected my career, because it was, in my mind, it was over. And I came to realize that it wasn't over, because he said it wasn't over yet. So you're absolutely right. You know, a lot of leaders out there, you know, this is not, our podcast is not centered on a faith-based, platform, or we're not trying to come out here or preach or anything like that. But you're going to realize that, you know, leaders, we always have to believe in somebody or something, because there's always a higher power. Because I know, for one, you know, when I used to come up with ideas, people would ask me, how'd you come up with that idea? And I'd sit there and I'd look at them, I said, I have no freaking idea how I came up with that, but it worked, didn't it? And I started realizing after a while that it wasn't me. It was God. You know, it was somebody putting that seed in my mind and led me in the right direction. And I know you've had that experience many, many times.
Yeah, Eddie, you know, what you say, it really resonates, because, you know, one of the things I tell people when I talk to them, when I do some of my seminars and webinars and other things, is that, you know, I realize that not everybody out there has faith in God and has those things. But what I tell people is that You have to build a strong foundation, and you have to have a foundation in something. And while some people don't understand that world, I will tell you, as you well know, and as we've said, is that I know without a doubt that is what keeps me going, and I know you know that as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Earl, why don't you tell us a little bit about when did you first become passionate about leadership? I mean, I know the way you carry yourself. I see the way you are. And, you know, it's all about character and respect and treating people right and stuff like that. So when did you first become passionate about leadership and you that was the path you were going to take?
Well, really early on. I mean, you know, when I grew up going through school and in high school, you know, I played sports. I was in extracurricular activities and organizations. And, you know, in there, I was usually in a leadership position. And so, you know, I guess for me, that early on, I was a leader all throughout high school. I knew that that's kind of, you know, people gravitated to me, and I knew that that's kind of what I wanted to do. I wasn't afraid to make decisions. I wasn't afraid to make decisions even if it was wrong. And so as I grew and as I went through there to the military and then started on my career, that path just kind of stayed the same. And the more people came to me, the more I think that grew my passion of, you know, I just didn't want to be a leader. I wanted to be a good leader, even a great leader. And so that's where my passion began to grow.
So let me ask you, were you like, you know, I know when I started moving up into formal leadership positions, and I guess my first formal leadership position came when I was 18 years old, and I got promoted to department manager of the hardware section at Walmart. And while I knew how things ran, there was really no formal training other than here's a set of keys, here's a clipboard, you are now in charge. So how did you deal with it? I mean, were you kind of thrust into a leadership position kind of that same way?
Several times, but I can tell you my part that really resonates like that is that when I got promoted as a sergeant, I got sent to night shift, and basically I got sent to night shift saying, hey, good luck. You're now on night shift. Here's the people that you're going to be in charge of. Get with the other sergeant and figure out how to do the schedule. And I thought, wait a minute. Where's the training wheels? Where's, you know, teach me the processes? You know, what are we learning about leadership? And so that really was the point that I started to think, you know, if I've experienced this, just, you know, like you were saying, you got thrown to the wolves, I got thrown to the wolves. It's not that anybody intended for us to fail. I just think people didn't realize that, you know, we have to teach people how to be successful sometimes. We have to give them the things and the tools to be successful. And so that really is where my passion started growing on the leadership side, because I wanted to make sure that folks that I was in charge of and the things that I was in charge of, we really learned about leadership, not about how to do the position.
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point. You know, it's kind of like what you said. I mean, I and a lot of people don't realize this, you know, and this is basically what the podcast is all about, is that, you know, there's more leaders out there in this world than anybody knows about.
Right.
I mean, you know, sometimes people don't realize that, you know, that single mom, you know, for instance, like in my case, you know, my mom raised me, and, you know, she worked three jobs just to keep a roof over our heads and stuff like that. And basically she showed me how to, about my work ethic, and there was a lot of things that I learned. And, you know, when I tell her, you know, what an important role she played in the development of me as a leader, she kind of just frowns and looks at me and laughs and says, I'm not a leader. I have no idea what you're talking about. And it's exceptional just to see how sometimes we overlook people who are actually in leadership roles, who don't even realize that they're actual formal leaders in their own platform.
That's very true. You know, speaking of that, I can remember back, my parents, mom and dad were very strict. I mean, we didn't get to do the same things the rest of the kids do. And, you know, I can remember looking back and, you know, they never held any real leadership positions. But I saw the things that they did, and when it came to getting things done, and when it came to raising us, you know, I look back and it's like, you know, they did a pretty good job, because all of us kids, there were six of us total, were all pretty successful, you know. And it's like they built that foundation early on because, like you said, they taught that strong work ethic. And, you know, they taught you to work hard. If you work hard, then things will come. Maybe not easy, but things will come as long as you work hard.
Absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit about when you started your company, Leading and Learning with Character, and why did you start it?
So in early 2017, you know, I'd been thinking about writing a book for a while. My wife and I had several discussions about it, and, you know, something that I was just passionate about. And, you know, that was about the time when one of my bigger things of adversity hit, and my time was cut short of being the chief of police where I was, and it was definitely, I wasn't ready to leave. And, you know, one of the things is that sometimes you have to leave places, whether you do things wrong, right, indifferent, and you have to leave them before you're ready. I took a little time from that, and I'm like, you know, I've been talking about this leadership thing, and what did I want to do with it? How did I want to get the message out? And so, you know, we decided that, okay, now is going to be a better time than any when you go from this is how you thought it was going to be to what's next. And so, you know, as I sat there through the months, and as we traveled a little bit, we kind of self-reflected, we kind of just looked at what the future holds. You know, one of the things we had to decide is what was next. You know, what was I going to do next? You know, you can job hunt, you can look for jobs and fields and do all that, but what else and how else was I going to move my leadership forward? And so when I began to pray about and think about and move forward with writing my first book, the idea was, okay, well, now's the time to start that business and get the leadership business part of it moving, if that makes sense.
Well, absolutely. That makes perfect sense. I mean, like I said earlier, you and I, our paths are very, very similar, that, and I'm sure that we're not the only ones out there. But when we were going through these issues, we actually thought we were the only ones out there that were going through this. You know, same thing with me when I was the police chief, you know, back in East Texas, you know, I kept, you know, I wasn't ready to go, but it was something that I had to do. I knew that I was coming in. I knew what I was coming into and what I was taking on when I was offered the position. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes the political platform and the political climate changes, and that's basically kind of what happened. And even though we had a really good thing going, and you've heard me say this, Earl, I don't understand how something that was going so right went so wrong. You know, we had the momentum of the community, we had the momentum of the crime rate going down, and everything was changing, but for some strange reason, those people that I was trying to lead didn't have the same vision, and we clashed, and it was just something that, you know, you can only get so far if you don't have the support of everybody that you need to get behind you. And I made the decision to go ahead and leave and go back home, and same thing, you know, it was a blessing in disguise. I was able to start my PhD. I was able to open up my security company and transition into the private sector. And before I ended up taking the current position that I'm in, as an executive director. And you're right. I mean, you never know what those. We look at them as adverse issues at the time we're going through them, and while we're going through that, I don't know, dysfunction, there's a lot of adversity as we're trying to fight with ourselves and realize what it is that we're going to do next. And this is the thing that sets up leaders, people who are actual natural leaders, not natural, but who are true leaders, you know, that they know that they may be down for the 8 count, but they're going to get up before that 9 count and that 10 count comes up, and they're going to keep going. And I know there's a lot of leaders out there who are listening to this, who have been in similar positions, and just want you guys to know that, you know, you're not out there by yourselves. You're not alone. You're not facing this adversity all by yourselves. All of us at leadership, you know, it's funny because somebody once told me, you know the reason you become a police chief? And I said, yeah, because I want to serve and help my community. And they said, no, you become a police chief to get hired and get fired and then get hired again. Because, you know, in our world, you know, the police landscape for police chiefs is usually, you know, 3 to 5 years. Now it's like 2 to 3 years. So, why do you think that's the case? I mean, why do you think that in our world of leaders, there's a constant rotation of that?
Well, Eddie, I think, you know, you touched on it a little bit when you talked about politics and changes and things that happen. You know, I would submit that most people that go into leadership positions, and in particular our experiences in the chief of police world, you know, we get hired into places to come in and affect change. We get hired to go in and make improvements. You know, sometimes there's places that you go that there's lots of improvements and changes that are needed. Some place you go, very little. But they do need some guidance. And I think that, you know, you can have a great plan, as you and I both know, and we've talked about it, and we both have had going into more than one place. You can have a great plan of action. You can have things. You can have a lot of people that are on your side in the community and in the organization itself. But there's also some key players that if your council or your mayor or your city manager, for whatever reason, you know, if they don't continue to be on your side, then it doesn't matter how great your plan is. It doesn't matter how good people like it and how effective and efficient you really are. That changes the landscape. And like you also said, you know, one of the things for me is that the experiences that you and I have talked about, and because we ran into each other and it was like everything had lined up, we were experiencing some of the same things. That's another reason I wrote that first book, is because I knew that I wanted to learn something from that experience. And I felt like that if I learned something, then I should share it with somebody else. Because if there's two of us, there's three of us. If there's three of us, there's four of us, and you can keep going. Because like you said, in our world, it's ever changing. And most people will tell you, if you go into any chief class, they always talk about, you know, you have a time span of anywhere from sometimes 1 to 5 years, and it changes depending on where you are. But, you know, if you look at your career, 1 to 5 years is not really a lot of time to affect a lot of good, great change and keep it maintained and continuing forward. So our world is ever changing. So we just have to be prepared and know that, you know, it doesn't have to be that it's us. It really could be that, you know, when that landscape changes, sometimes, even though we're not finished, it's time to move on.
Right. So, I mean, great points. And I think, you know, I think it's not only in our world. I think, you know, a lot of CEOs and FCOs and people in leadership positions, superintendents, chiefs of police, sheriffs. I mean, heck, even a sheriff has, you know, they were elected by the people, but if they don't serve the community the way they are, they're gone. They're out of a job in 4 years when they get, you know, booted out. Or you could be one of the lucky ones who keeps getting elected if you're doing a good job. So leading and learning with character. How do we find leading and learning with character? Is there a website, or how do we find you?
Yeah, you can go to my website. It's earlmorrison.com. On there, I mean, it talks about everything that we do, webinars, seminars. I have a blog, Facebook page. You go there and navigate around. You can find just about anything about me.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about the seminars that you offer.
So one of the things we do is I do offer seminars based on the two books that I've written. You know, I've just taken some of the chapters and kind of fine-tuned them to some more teaching points and teaching avenues. One is on embracing change, learn from your mistakes, make good decisions, never compromise your character, mentoring through life, just to name a few. Currently, I have about 10 to 12 working, and I say 10 to 12 because I'm in the process of growing that. But currently I have about 10 to 12 topics that I do seminars on.
Awesome, Earl. Awesome. All right, Earl. You know, right now we're faced with this COVID-19, this coronavirus that's just thrown the entire world into chaos. And, I mean, talk about having to lead with adversity right now, especially, you know, those of us who are in leadership positions. You know, right now we're trying to having to come up and be creative and coming up with new ideas. You know, leading and learning with character is a seminar based. You know, you're a public speaker just like I am, and we put on seminars and we do all these great things. So, what are you transitioning, or what are you doing right now to keep your business growing and going during this time of the unknown?
Well, right now, and you know, we had talked about doing this all along, but we're in the process now of doing some webinars, and we've been asked to provide some webinars for a group SGR out of Texas. They're doing a servant leadership group, and so we're going to provide a couple of seminars for them, but we're also going to have seminars on our website. So, you know, we're now having to keep up with the times, but it's something that we've always wanted to do.
Awesome, awesome. So let's mention your books again, Leadership Lessons Learned, Leading and Learning with Character, and Mentoring for Life, Leading and Learning with Character. Your first book, how difficult was it to write compared to your second book?
You know, people always ask that. I tell them, you know, the hardest thing is to get started, because, you know, you have the thoughts in your head. You're trying to figure out, you know, what's my venue? What's my audience? What am I looking for to put out there? And, you know, for me, you know, like we've discussed a few times, part of that first book was a healing process for me, you know, of you just left a position that you really wanted, that you thought you were doing really well in, and you left before you were finished doing the things that you wanted to. And so once I decided, okay, this could be very healing for me, and this could help me, but also everybody else, once I started writing, I just had to get myself organized. I had to stay focused, but I can tell you that second book, Eddie, was so much easier. I knew how to be disciplined. I knew that I needed to sit down and write a certain amount and then stop and walk away. And, you know, everybody does that differently. But if you're not in the right mindset to write, it's not going to flow very well. You're not going to put on paper and get out there when folks are reading it the message that you really want if your mindset's not right.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, I'm working on a PhD, so all I do is research and write. I mean, that's all I do. So when I figured, when I started writing my book, I thought it was going to be, a lot easier. Except, like you said, you know, writing a book, for those of you who have been through any type of adversity through your leadership career, it serves as a great healing process. However, the one thing you've got to keep in mind is that first draft you write, and when you're done with it and you're really happy with it, you have to let other people read it. Because I know when I was done with my book and I read it, I came across as very angry. And, you know, I haven't let you read that first draft, or I probably never really will, because it was a really angry draft. I mean, I was able to pick it out, you know. And, you know, as a leader, it's not something that I'm proud of, but, you know, I use a lot of curse words, and I'm a pretty aggressive guy. I'm a pretty in-your-face kind of guy. So when I wrote that first book, I was like, holy smokes. I had the pleasure of reading your first draft, and you were pretty angry, you know.
Yeah, Eddie, you know, you're right. And like I talked about that healing process, I was like, you know, I kind of knew it when I was writing it. I mean, you kind of have that idea, but it's like you need to get it out. You need to say those things and get it on paper. And so there were five of y'all that I actually let read that book. And, you know, I thought when the first one come back, I was like, yeah, okay, you say I'm angry, but yeah, you know, whatever. But when all five of you came back and said, hey, Earl, the book sounds really good. You've got some really good points in there. However, it sounds like you're very angry. And I said, well, okay, I don't want to be angry, but I needed to be angry, if that makes sense. I mean, you just touched on it, you know. Once you get that out, then you can go back and fine-tune that and actually teach the lesson that you wanted everybody to learn while you're writing it. And so, man, I get it. You gotta get that out, but you gotta let some other people help you sometimes and say, hey, you know what? Tone that down, and you got a great message.
You know, we talked about, we kind of touched on these subjects already a little bit. You kind of got a little ahead of my questions here. But, that, you know, so basically, and we kind of touched on this, but we here at Leading Through Adversity, we have a certain audience we're trying to get. And basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to create an audience, a platform where leaders who have been through this, because I know when I was going through this situation, you were going through your situation, it almost felt like we were out there by ourselves and we were kind of on an island by ourselves. But, you know, we just recently met another individual that we've actually kind of we've hired here at Cleeton, and you know, he went through the same thing as a police chief and had a lot of adversity he had to deal with. And when we all sat around and we talked, you know, we're starting to realize that this is more and more of a common occurrence. And it's one of the things that people just don't seem to understand, is that just because you're in a leadership role doesn't mean you're this superpower guy who isn't human and has feelings and goes through this. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what's the audience that you're trying to grasp, that you're trying to grab out there?
Well, Eddie, you know, the audience is really anybody in a leadership position. It doesn't matter where that is. You know, the thing is that we often forget that there's other people out there that possibly could go through the same things we do. And so, you know, our platform, mine and yours, in both of our businesses, is that I want to touch the people that need that understanding and that hope and that faith that they can get through. And really, you know, leading to learn with character, that's really what we do, is that we let you understand that, you know what, you're not the only one out there. Other people have experienced it. And it's the message that I put with my books is the same thing, is that, look, you know, others have been through that. But if we don't share that, how can we help other people make it through? And, you know, our audience touches on, man, it doesn't matter the field. You've dealt with adversity. You've been through things. You've had ups and downs. And so anybody out there that feels like you're in this alone or that nobody understands, I'm here to tell you that there's at least two people, myself and Eddie both, and there's the other guy here. We understand because we've been there.
Exactly. Like you said, you know, this platform here is open to anybody in any type of leadership role. Whether you're starting out your career as a leader, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a chief of police, a CFO, a CEO, or any type of business owner or anything like that, this is because leadership roles have a lot in common. We're all doing basically the same thing. We're dealing with budgets. We're dealing with personnel. We're dealing with staffing. We're dealing with inventory. We're dealing with in our case here, you know, 47 different attitudes and mentalities that you have to deal with. And sometimes, you know, so everybody in any type of leadership role is invited to, you know, to come in and join our podcast here at Leading Through Adversity and checking out Earl's Leading and Learning with Character. So we want to welcome as many people as we can. So do you plan on writing any more books after this one?
Well, that's a great question, Eddie. It's funny because the first interview I ever did after I wrote my first book, they sent me the questions ahead of time, and we're sitting there, and my wife and I were going over them. You know, you don't want to sound like a goofball when you're, you know, interviewing anywhere. And so when I was talking to her, and we looked at each other, and I was like, I do, but what's the number? And she's like, several. So, yes, I do. And, you know, some of them are I have a basis. You know, self-reflection is one that's my passion. I'm probably going to do something that's kind of like a survival guide for police chiefs. I've got some other avenues on some of my seminars that I may expand on, especially when it deals with the character aspect. You know, the problem is, Eddie, I've got so many ideas, but not enough time to sit down and write all of them. So at some point, I'm going to have to say, here's the next one and get started.
Right. No, I totally get you. I mean, I'm still, you know, I started writing the book in 2017. Here we are in 2020, and I still can't get it done because it keeps changing. You know, I'm almost done with the book. I'm happy with this draft that's coming out. Hopefully, I can get that out here, you know, and out in the world here by 2020. And it basically is it's unmasking leadership. You know, now one of the things that I want to talk to you before we close is, you know, I invited you here, Leading Through Adversity, Unmasking Leadership. You know, I had a hard time coming up with a name and stuff like this and finding a thing. But, you know, what do you think is the hardest thing? What's the hardest lesson or the truth that you didn't know about when you took on a leadership role? And that's what I mean by unmasking leadership. You see, because everybody thinks that it's glamorous and glorious and that being the guy in charge, you have all the power and you're the man or the lady or the woman in charge. But there's also a dark side to leadership, and there's a lot of things that people don't know and a lot of things that I wish mentors and people had told me about before I took on these roles, because maybe I would have decided to go a different route. Probably not. But so what do you think is one of the things that people need to unmask before they decide to jump into a leadership role?
You know, I think one of the hardest things for me, Eddie, is, you know, I guess I didn't realize that how my attitude was, how I went, the decision that I made, and the conversations that I had with people in that position, I guess the merit that holds for those people, because there's no idle conversation. You can't just have a conversation of, hey, how you doing, what's going on, this, because everybody looks at that differently. And I learned that people will take pieces of that, some intentionally, some not intentionally, and they turn that to fit sometimes their own agenda. Yeah, you know, you've experienced it. It's one of those, I guess I should have known, but I just didn't expect that you couldn't carry on a conversation of, you know, I like to be empathetic. I like to be compassionate. I like to be able to talk with those people that I lead. And you would think that you learn that respect, and you know, there's certain venues, you know, when you're a leader, you have to discuss tough things. What's tough is that you got to be careful even when you're discussing those things that are necessary of how people take that. And I that one I was just not ready for.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally understand that. I mean, you know, it's difficult. So tell us, Earl, before we close here, how can people learn more about you, and how do we get in contact with you? You know, if anybody out there in the podcast world is looking for a person to come and talk to them about, you know, leading and learning with character, you know, Earl Morrison is really your guy. I mean, like I said, I have learned a lot from Earl, and I consider him, you know, he's almost there at the point where I can almost consider him a mentor, but I don't want his head to get any bigger than it already is. So we'll keep it at that for now. But Earl, how do people learn more about you and contact and get a hold of you?
Well, hey, thanks again, man. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. You don't have to say the words. I already know. You know, we have this relationship of growing our leadership together. So I appreciate that. But anybody out there that's looking, you can find me at earlmorrison.com. You can find me on Facebook. All that stuff is actually on my website when you pull it up. I'm on LinkedIn. If you type in my name, it'll pull up. It'll pull up some of my blog stuff. So I'm not hard to find, but just look for the menu when you go to earlmorrison.com, and you'll see the things that we have there to offer. You can send me emails from there. My phone number's there. You can contact me, and man, I would be glad to come out anywhere and help anybody to grow your leadership and help you understand leading and learning with character and leading through adversity.
Awesome, Earl. Well, you know, again, thanks for joining us, and you know, we're here as well, leading through adversity, unmasking leadership. We're here as well. You know, you can find us on our LinkedIn page. You can find me at my website, JesusEddieCampa.com, and you know, there's no competition. There's enough business for everybody out there, because God knows that in reality, leadership is probably one of the most underserved sections in the world today, because leadership is based on people's perceptions, you know, and it's ever changing. And as leaders, we always have to keep evolving and learning how to adapt to our the people that we're trying to lead. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this second episode of leading through adversity. I'm all confused, a lot of leadings and learnings here, but if you'll join us next week, this episode will drop here hopefully by Wednesday of this week, and next week's guest is a person who's also a very good friend of mine. I met him during one of the most adverse times of his life, and it's going to be a pretty interesting show, because it involves kidnapping and investigations and entrepreneur, and he's a very successful businessman in El Paso, Texas. So next week you'll be able to hear this interesting story. I'm not going to tell you who it is, because I want you all to join, but it's going to be a very, very interesting story. So this is Eddie Campa and Earl Morrison saying have a great rest of your Easter Sunday. Thank you. Ha 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 ha